I just believe that there's some of us that really know that they've got a word from the Lord. If there's a scripture or something in your heart that you know you must share, there's someone that came before me before the time as well.
Yeah, I just have a sense that I've realized in my life that we shouldn't leave God's presence without being changed. If there's something that's bothering us, if we come into God's presence, we shouldn't leave changed. And I've just realized that many evenings I've come here, and then the evenings I've come up for prayer afterwards, God really honors those prayers. And I just feel that if there's something bothering anyone here, you shouldn't leave tonight. We've come to the presence of God, and there are people here. Don't think you're going to go home and pray about it. Come forward after the sermon, and the Spirit of God is here now. Don't wait for tomorrow to try and pray about it yourself. Let the brothers come and the sisters come and pray for you, because I can just testify that in my life it's made a huge difference. Just acknowledging that you don't know how to do everything, and just saying to someone in front, I need God's help. I just sense that those prayers get answered, and I can testify from my own life.
Hello. Ek voel net die Here, soos daar's 'n dat baie mense deur suffering gaan en dat dit nie maklik is nie. En maar ek voel regtig dit is soos 'n seisoen waar die Here die suffering gaan gebruik vir ons goedheid, like that it's something that shapes us. And I just got the scripture. However we possess this treasure, the divine light of the gospel, in frail human vessels of earth, that the grandeur and exceeding greatness of the power may be shown from God and not from ourselves, we are hedged in, pressed on every side, troubled and pressed in every way, but not cramped or crushed. We suffer embarrassments and are perplexed and unable to find a way out, but not driven to despair. We are pursued, persecuted, and hard driven, but not deserted to stand alone. We are struck down to the ground, but never struck out and destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the liability and exposure to the same putting to death that the Lord Jesus suffered, so that the resurrection of life of Jesus may also be shown forth by and in our bodies. And then, for all these things are taking place for your sake, so that the more grace, divine favor, and spiritual blessing extends to more and more people and multiplies through the many, the more thanksgiving may increase to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not become discouraged, utterly spiritless, exhausted, and wearied out through fear. Though our outer man is progressively decaying and wasting away, yet our inner self is being renewed day by day.
I just saw a picture of a big field, and I just knew this. It was like the Lord is saying, this field belongs to me. I'm the Lord of the harvest, and His kingship is over this field. And then I saw a horse and a guy sitting on the horse, and the horse was like steadily coming forward, and like with every step, the man on the horse was decreeing Jesus is Lord, His Lordship. And what I strongly just sense is the Lord's kingdom is advancing. The light is advancing and the darkness is becoming smaller. And it was like I saw that as it is advancing, you might be standing there and you're thinking, what now? But it is coming, and I just feel the Lord saying, I've got a claim on your life. And I am king. And if, in a sense, I just sense that as this light is advancing, as this horse is advancing, it will change whatever is in front of it. It's like, whatever is standing in front of this horse cannot stand in the presence of this king. And, just as the light is coming as well, I just felt like, even if your life isn't under the lordship of the Lord, His kingdom is advancing and it will influence you. So I just need to encourage people tonight, if there are things that you haven't surrendered to God, please do so. So I just want to agree with Stephen. Like, don't go home unchanged. God is King and He's declaring it tonight. So please respond.
In my quiet time this morning, I just was just singing in the Spirit, and God just gave me just part of the word that it was, is that God said, as He just said through Marika, that I am Lord of the harvest. And what He just wants to come and encourage the church with is that He is the one that gives growth. We don't have to worry about causing the growth. That one of us plants, another one waters, but God is the one that gives the increase. And He is the one, Jesus is the one that prevented the net from breaking when they caught all that fish. And so we don't have to worry about whether our nets are strong enough, because as the harvest comes in, God will make sovereignly, supernaturally, He will strengthen the nets.
That beautiful young lady, where is she now? She said, she's so afraid to speak, but she just wanted to say, God says, fear not, and come into My presence. I just believe this morning you asked me to just share this quickly with you again. This morning when we prayed, the Lord just shared something with us in Isaiah 43. The Lord says, do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring My sons from afar and My daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by My name, whom I created for My glory, whom I formed and made. And I just believe tonight the Lord is saying, sons and daughters, I'm calling you in. The fathers must rise up, so that the sons and the daughters can come in. And the Lord said in Zechariah this morning, just share that portion with us, where He said, O daughter of Zion, rise up, rejoice. So I want to challenge you tonight. Are you a daughter of Zion? Where's the daughters of Zion? Are there daughters of Zion in the house tonight? Hallelujah. Is there a daughter of Zion in the house? Rejoice. Shout it out. And shout unto the Lord. And if you're a son and a daughter, the Lord says, He's going to call in your sons from the north and from the south and from the east and the west. The children is coming in. Fathers, mothers, be prepared. Amen.
Can we just pray? Yes, Father, we just want to thank You, Lord, for Your goodness and Your favor, Lord. Lord, we want to exalt You, Lord, as the King of Kings. Thank You, Lord God, that You are Father and that You love us as Your children, Lord. Father, I want to pray and I thank You for Your presence in this place, Lord. I thank You, Lord, that You are changing hearts, Lord, that You're speaking to Your children, Lord. I thank You, Lord, for your goodness, Lord. Thank You that Your goodness leads to repentance, Lord. Father, it's Your goodness, it's Your love, Lord, that changes lives, Father, in Jesus' name. Father, I thank You, Lord, that I know this word is from You, Lord. So many words this morning confirmed it. Lord, even the guys that prayed this morning prayed my sermon back to me, Lord. And I'm just so encouraged to see that I know these words are not my words, Lord. These thoughts weren't my thoughts, Lord, but it was Yours, Lord. And all the glory and honor is Yours, because You are a God, a Father that wants to restore His children back to Him, Lord. And I thank You, Lord, that You brought words to encourage Your children to come, the prodigals to come back to You, because You are a Father that loves His children, in the name of Jesus. Amen. I didn't really know how to start my sermon this morning, so I'm just going to start the same way as I did. But when I started this morning, it was like God's Spirit came over me very powerfully. And where my sermon came from is from intercession. And I love to pray. I think that's all that I really can do, is to pray. And even Saturday, Annette, my wife and I, we were praying and we were spending time with God for more than 2 hours. And, you know, like sometimes you pray and you just have all this filth in your heart. Okay, but maybe you don't know it, but yes, we had so much filth in our hearts. And as we just prayed, God just came and He came to cleanse our hearts. And we could stand and just pray for people and just pray, God, like we've been offended with people, and just bless people. And it was just so amazing to see. And then God spoke to my wife about me, a very powerful word. And then I took her to my sermon and said, Lif Kekiso, look, this is the word that You've given me. And it was just something that God, that I believed in faith, and that God, came to restore to me through my wife Lynette as we just spent time with God. But, you know, my sermon has been coming on for quite a while, and we pray in the mornings, Friday mornings, for the church. We pray before church as well. And I really believe that God hasn't called intercessors. God has called the church to pray. That Jesus said, my house will be called the house of prayer. That it's not one or two people to pray. God has called everyone to pray. And that God says, whoever, if you abide in my word and abide in me, whatever you ask, that I will give to you. Whatever you ask. And, you know, many people, you ask the question, who of you have prayed and God hasn't heard your prayers? And then most people, but God is giving these promises that whatever you ask, He will give to us. Now, on Friday mornings, we pray, and there's like one or two older people, and then these young girls, 20 years old, 20, 22 years old, and they come and they're praying diligently. And I was a bit grieved because, you know, yesterday, those of you wat die waarheid lees, ek weet nie of julle weet wat die waarheid is nie, dis die burger. Die volle waarheid is die rapport. There was an article on the 3-2 battalion. I don't know if anyone saw it, but I was there when I was in the army. And what I learned from them was that the leadership don't stand behind. That's what we learned at infantry school in Oudtshoorn. You stand behind and you send the troops to go. But in 3-2 battalion, the lieutenants go first and the troops follow. And because the men trust their corporals and their lieutenants because they go first. And for me, when we pray, I really believe in, even this morning I was doing setup with a children's church and there was a visitor and he was asking who's preaching. And I said, well, there's a special preacher. That's me. And he said, well, you're doing setup. And I said, yes, but that's the principle that I learned when I was in the army, that you lead by example. And we come and pray in the mornings, and I don't know, this morning I had terrible dreams last night. Yes, so I don't know if anyone had bad dreams this last week. This morning I asked people to raise their hands, and like 10 people raised their hands. And I said, you know, we are in a war. If you want to know it or not, there's a spiritual war. This morning I was woken up at 3 o'clock to pray. I must be honest with you, I was so tired. I didn't pray. I was just too tired. But I knew that God wanted me to pray because the dreams that came afterwards. And at Friday mornings we pray, and it's the young girls that come and pray. It's the young girls that go to war and the men sleep. And I got grieved and I said, God, and I prayed the one morning and I said, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you'll bring the songs of the Lord to inspire the young girls to sing the songs of the Lord, that Saul killed thousands, but David killed 10,000 in the name of Jesus. And I just had this burden that the girls must sing the songs of the Lord. And then the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, the girls cannot sing the songs if the Davids don't stand up to inspire the women to sing the songs. I went, oh God, the men, raise up the men, Lord, raise up the sons, Lord, in Jesus' name. And I was praying for the sons, and then one morning, and God has been speaking to me about this whole thing about sonship. And even last week or two, when I preached, when I did the altar call, and I want to repent if I said that people are hirelings because they're not raising their hands. But God actually spoke to me right there saying, you are all acting as hirelings. And it means orphans. And I just, it came out of my mouth and I said it, and I had to repent afterwards to people. But I realized there's something in my heart, that there's an orphan spirit in me that God wanted to take away from us because He wants to raise up as sons of God. And then the one morning we just felt led to, I felt led to bring, ask the older men. There was two older men that they were older than 50. And we all just prayed for them, and we released the Spirit of God upon them. Because the Word says that the hearts of the fathers will turn to the children. And we just trusted God that the fathers will come in. Because there's a generation of children who do not have fathers. And I believe it's grieving God because the fathers is not standing up to raise up the children. And Malachi 4 verse 5 says, behold, I sent you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, in the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. The hearts of the fathers must change first. And lest I strike the land with a curse, I want to tell you about this curse because it's here. The land, the world has been cursed because of a fatherless generation. Where the fathers hasn't stand up, the world is cursed. Our identity comes from our parents, but especially the fathers. We even get the surnames from our fathers. But many young men grow up without a father imparting in their lives. And apparently does great damage. Now these men, maybe you've heard of them, but they all didn't have fathers. Jack the Ripper, Charles Manson, Lee Harvey Oswald, the guy that was accused of for shooting JFK, John F. Kennedy, Adolf Hitler. Robert Mugabe's father left him when he was 10 years old. Most criminals in South Africa's prisons lack positive male role models. I've read here on this one website that psychologists studying the fatherless sons of violence note that the lack of control in kids without dads and the failure to complete development stages like education is due to weak family structures. Children from fatherless homes have a much higher rate of violence, accidents, and criminality. Dads influence and affect the self-esteem of children. Fatherlessness and street gang membership go hand in hand. The children that belong to street gangs are children that come from homes where there's no fathers. So they go, there's no father, but they need the acceptance. They join the gangs because they know there's a protection, there's a code of older boys looking after me where I will be protected. So family is being replaced by a gang, a street gang culture. With the rise, this goes further, it says, with the rise of divorce rate and the decline of the family nucleus in our country, it is the boy that is more frequently deprived of a father's presence in the home and in their lives. These boys with an absent father experience difficulties in emotional, social, cognitive, and moral behavior. The stats in South Africa is probably worse than in America, but these are stats from America. 63% of youth suicides are from fatherless homes. 90% of homeless and runaway children are from fatherless homes. 85% of all children who exhibit behavioral disorders, fatherless homes. 80% of rapists motivated by anger come from fatherless homes. 71% of all high school dropouts come from fatherless homes. 75% of all teenage patients in chemical abuse centers, that's drugs, come from fatherless homes. 85% of all youths in prison comes from fatherless homes. Then it says here, daughters of single parents without a father involved are 53% more likely to marry as teenagers, 711% more likely to have children as teenagers, 164% more likely to have premarital birth, and 92% more likely to get divorced themselves. This is the curse that the Bible is speaking about. Then in Bible school, we watched this DVD on pornography. James Dobson is talking about pornography and the effect that pornography has on the world. And that porn is destroying society as we have it. Men's minds get completely deformed because of the images that they see on the internet and on television. And James Dobson says it all starts with soft porn. Not all continue to hardcore porn, but the ones that go to hardcore porn, their minds get completely altered. This pornography is more addictive than any drug. It's more addictive than that. And once you've seen one of those images, you will not be able to get it out of your mind unless God does a miracle in you. And I must be serious with you. Many Christians I know struggle with pornography. Many, many people struggle with this. He had an interview with a guy called Ted Bundy. He was convicted for 28 serial murders where he abducted women, he raped them repetitively, and then he killed them. About 2 weeks, 2 months before his execution, he started speaking to investigators to tell them where some of the other women were that he abducted, that he wasn't, that they didn't know about. So many more girls got killed. And he said, look, I take responsibility for every murder. It was my fault. I don't want to put it on anything else, but I want to say to you that hardcore porn was a huge influence in my life to commit these murders. And he's been on death row for 11 years. And every serial killer that he got, that he was involved with, was, all of them were involved with hardcore porn. James Dobson said, porn will always kill. It will always kill. And it destroys young men's minds. The people who buy the most porn are teenagers. Once you got addicted to it, you'll probably be addicted to it the rest of your life. You'll never be able to have a healthy sexual marriage once you've been in porn. It will destroy you. You will always look at other women with lustful eyes because your mind, the devil uses it to destroy our minds. People are using pornography to get lured young children into sexual abuse, 5, 6 years old. This is why porn is designed to destroy something that God created for all of us to enjoy. But I must be honest with you, there is a great answer, and the answer is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the answer to this curse, the Lord Jesus Christ. God the Father is calling His children in because God, by the blood of Jesus, can change your mind. God died on the cross for every curse. This includes pornography, this includes drugs, this includes all these bad things that happens to all of us. God wants to change our lives. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. God's heart is for the world. It's for each one of us. That's the heart of God. Now Luke 12 verse 32 is one of the scriptures that really, you know, you don't read the scripture, but it's so powerful. Little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. That's God's heart. He wants to give us the kingdom. He doesn't want us to be abused. He doesn't want us to be poor. God doesn't want us to struggle. God wants us to have the kingdom. The kingdom involves family life, good business, good children, good offspring. God, that's God's heart. God's heart is to bless. The devil wants to curse us. He wants to destroy us. But God wants to give us. He wants to give us the kingdom. But the thing is, we need fathers. Because, you know, what I've seen is, and I spoke to someone who is here now. Someone told me that this lady needs like a father figure in her life. And I went to go and speak to her. And as we spoke, I realized where she is, I am exactly. That place of affirmation where an older person can just affirm who I am in my identity. And I must be honest with you, there was no one that I could refer her to. There was one person that was her age because there's no fathers. The fathers and mothers are not standing up. And we spoke about it, and I mean, she's so solid. I could never think that, but we just both decided this is something that we need to pray. And that was so part of my journey that God is speaking to me because He wants the fathers to be released. God is looking for the fathers to stand up to what God is calling them. Because these young people, these mothers in our church whose children never had a father praying a blessing over them. But the thing is, the sad thing is, there's men here 70 years old who'd never had a father praying a blessing over them too. And they can't represent or be a father because they've never been demonstrated what it is like to be a father. And I think, you know, people can't relate to God the Father because they can't relate to their own fathers. But we need men to stand up as spiritual fathers, to be fathers to the children, whose hearts will change to the fathers. The scripture here in 1 Corinthians 4 verse 15 says, for though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. I really believe God is saying, there's so many people that know the word and they speak into your life, but it's not fathers. It's speaking that laying hands, saying, you are my son, I'm well pleased with you. Just come and speak a blessing over who you are. To become a man, a boy must see a man. Meaning this is where we must become the message and not only bring the message. We can't speak to people and we're not being the fathers. We need to stand up as being fathers. I myself, someone asked me that we adopt children, but this is two spiritual children. They're very big and grown up already. But God just brought these two young men over my path. And the older one looks like my older boy, which is 5. And the younger one looks like my younger boy. He actually shares the same name, which is 3 years old. The older one is very, like, ordered. He's an accountant. And my son will probably be an accountant or engineer, very organized. And the younger one is wild. He's very wild, and this guy as well. And it was just so amazing how God somehow brought these two men over my path, and I didn't realize the need, the hunger that men has for just someone to pray over them, to say, you are my son, and I'm well pleased with you. Because children with active fathers are blessed. Listen to this statistics. Teenage girls raised in a two-parent home with an involved father are significantly less likely to be sexually active than girls raised without involved fathers. Children with fathers who are involved are 40% less to repeat a grade in school, 70% less likely to drop out of school, more likely to get A's in school, and more likely to enjoy school and engage in extracurricular activities. But the problem is our world is full of illegitimate children. You know, my wife said to me, oh, you shouldn't have said that, but I'm going to say it again. 50 years, 60 years ago, only the orphans and the sailors had tattoos. Today, it's the in thing. Everyone wants tattoos. I believe it's because of this thing. It's this illegitimate children manifestation, the spirit that causes us to have tattoos. If you have a tattoo and you've been blood watch is different, but you can see it in society. I personally know what someone's demons are by looking at their tattoos. I can see what their problems are because it manifests on their tattoos or maybe here in the back as well. You can see what it is. But, you know, if you have a tattoo, God loves you. I just want to say God loves you, and He loves all children, and He loves you, and He wants to bring it to you. And this is what my message is really about today, that God's heart is to for the illegitimate children. That is His heart for all of us. I shared it. I just have to say it again because I realized I have an orphan spirit in me specifically. There was things that God has shown me that the way I act, even though I know I'm a son, the way I was acting, I was manifesting illegitimacy in my own life. And I really trusted God, and a lot of it had to happen because I prayed to God and God supernaturally did something in my life. But I also understand that there's something that the fathers must do to release that blessing into the children, that they can stand up as sons. Now, just the difference between sons and hirelings or illegitimate children. An orphan or a hireling tends to his own things. A son carries the heart, the father's heart. A hireling shares only what you want to know. A son shares his inner conversations. Hirelings is independent or self-focused. The son has a generational vision. A hireling is not open to correction. A son embraces correction in love. You know, we see that quite a lot. When people have sin and you say, look, there's this thing in your life, it's going to destroy you. They get upset with you and they walk away. Where you get people and they say, do you really think so? Oh, thank you for telling me. Can we pray about that? And I think this is the difference between sonship and this the orphan thing. Orphans see discipline as, ooh, I hate you. Where discipline is actually, I love you. That's why I want to speak into your life. Because I see this thing is a weakness in your life. And it's destroying you. And people can't relate to you because of this thing in your life. And I want you to be successful where you are. Hebrews 12 says, for the Lord disciplines the one He loves. He chastises every son whom He receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. Mariana, God is treating you as a son. That's why you're suffering, because He loves you. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? You know, when my little boy is naughty and I hit him, dis my lekker om pak te gee, and he runs away, and I say, kom hier so. And he comes to me and he cries on my shoulder because he knows he's loved. Because I'm correcting him. Because if I leave him, he will become a rebel. If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. So if you're not being disciplined, you'll become a legitimate child and you will not be a child. And I really believe this is where we must become open for correction. We must allow God to speak into our lives, that God can change this orphan spirit out of us. He can remove this orphan spirit of wanting to do our own thing, where we surrender to the purposes of God. That we must become vulnerable before God. Be open that I can be heard when people speak into my life. Sometimes someone might sound very quiet, but it's actually because he loves you. That's why he is speaking into your life. John 10 says the hireling flees because he's a hireling and does not care about his sheep. But Jesus is the good shepherd. I know my sheep and I'm known by my own. And then it further says that the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. That's God's heart. That's the Son's heart. He will lay down his life for the sheep. The hireling runs away, but the good shepherd stands, and he stands. He will protect you against the wolves. He will protect you against those boys that have one thing on their mind. That's the heart of the Father, to protect the children. Not to run away. Not to let them go and do their own thing and sleep over and stuff like that, because it will destroy them. You know, but the thing is, even though this world is illegitimate, we, all of us, each one of you is a son. Each one of you is a son. Galatians 3 verse 26 says, "For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith." All of us are sons of God through faith. "For as many as you were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, neither slave nor free, neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." So the women, you are also sons. There's nothing, God doesn't look at male, female. He just says we're all sons in Him. "If you are Christ, then you are Abram's offspring, heirs according to His promise. And the promise is that we'll inherit everything. I mean that an heir, as long as he's a child, is no different from a slave, though he's the owner of everything. But he's under guardians and managers until the date set by the father. In the same we may also, when we are children, were enslaved to elementary principles of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoptions as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent His Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying out, 'Abba, Father.' You are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God." A hireling will be, if you're a girl and your sister is younger than you and she's going to get married, you'll be very upset because where's your husband? That's a hireling. But the son will say, "I'm so happy for you because you know God is good. He's for you and you will get your husband at God's appointed time." That all of us, we don't look down at other people. When God blesses them, you are happy with them and say, "God bless you. I'm so glad that God came through for you," because you know that you are a son that God wants to bless you too. And you walk that and you proclaim that God is good. God is faithful all the time. God's pre-appointed time is for me. God knows exactly what is right for me. You know, you can be a child. You can be legally a son or a daughter, live in a home of perfect love, yet you choose not to receive the love of parenting. And I think many of us are like that. We are all sons, but we choose not to accept this gift that God has given us, that we are His sons. And we walk around like illegitimate children. We go out, we sneak out of our rooms and go out and get drunk, and we come home at 3 o'clock in the morning. But at home, there's love. God's love is at home. But we sneak out to go and do our own thing. We act as illegitimate children. And I really believe God wants to take this orphan spirit out of us, that He wants us to become sons. But we must believe that in our hearts. We must proclaim that in our hearts. It's not only the fathers that can do it, but it's God the Father that's already done it. And He's done it for all of us. But we must really believe it, and we must proclaim it, and we must accept it, and we must speak it, and we must pray it. Because Ephesians 1 says, even as He chose us, as God chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will. That's God's heart. That's His will for your life, to be a son, to be blameless, to be holy. God has predestined us in the beginning of the world to become sons of God. Now, I want to just say to you that a father produces sons. God the Father's heart is to produce sons. There's the story in Luke where the two boys, and the one younger boy said, he was probably a wild one like mine, and he said, "Father, I want my inheritance." His father had to sell stuff to give him his inheritance, and he went off to go and have huge parties. Goof, 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 goof. Was his Friday, Saturday, and Sunday nights. Used drugs. Hy het coke gedrink and coke gesnuif. And then he lost everything. And then he was with the pigs, and he was lying there. He was destroyed. And then he says, "I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you.'" And then he says, "I'm no longer worthy to be your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. Treat me as an orphan because I'm no longer worthy." And this is what sin does to us. Even though we're sons, we say to God, "I'm not worthy." And maybe you're saying, "Yeah, I'm not worthy to be a son because I'm an orphan. And God, treat me like an orphan because I've got sin in my life." And then look what the father does. The father sees him from far coming. And it was not dignified for the father to run. But he saw his lost son coming. And he started running. And he started running to his son. And he grabbed him. And he had compassion on him. And he embraced him. And he kissed him. There's some men here that needs to be kissed today. And I'm going to kiss you. The Bible says we must give one another a holy kiss. And if you're looking down, I'm going to come to you and I'm going to come and kiss you. The son said to his father, "Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." And then the father said, "Bring my best robe, bring the ring, bring the shoes, slaughter a calf. We're going to have a huge party tonight." You know, because God the Father says, you are worthy. Each one of us are worthy. You are not a hireling, you're a son. But maybe one or two of you needs to return to the Father tonight. You need to return and make a stand. Say, "Dad, I was lost. I felt I'm not worthy, but I need to return." And God is saying to you, He wants to give you that robe. That robe is the identity in Christ. He gives you a new identity. Because you become righteous before God. When you respond and you come and stand here, you become the righteousness of God. It means that you have the same right as Jesus to stand before God. Not because of who you are, but because of what you believe. That is grace. That's the grace message. When you respond, say, "I'm making a stand for Jesus." He puts on the clothes of righteousness and you become righteous as Jesus is. And you can stand before God the Father without any shame. Without any rejection, you can stand before Him. And He gives you a ring, which means authority. It means that place, whatever I ask in His name, He will give to us. That is the authority. We stand in the name of Jesus, that whatever we ask, He will give to us. He gives us shoes, which means there's a destiny. We walk in a path, in a destiny that God is giving us. There's peace that we bring to this world. We bring the good news. And then the fatted joy is the joy of God. God's heart is to bring joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Romans 14 verse 17 says, "The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." But the other brother, the older brother, was offended. Because dad, he took one of our farms, he squandered it off. He was sleeping with prostitutes. And now you accept him like this. And the brother got offended with his brother and with his father. Now look what the father does. He was angry. The boy was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. The father's heart is for the lost son and for the offended son. That's God's heart. If you get offended with God, maybe you are offended with God or with people, God's heart, the father's heart is to bring you in because that is His love. God's love is for His sons and His daughters. This is the heart of the Father. In a Friday morning, we, in intercession, I got a word. that God wants to deal with people who are offended. And it was just so amazing when Mariska brought that one word, where is Mariska now? I just knew I had to speak it. I spoke to Philip later on, and God just came to do a massive work in us. The one word that he gave us, Proverbs 18 verse 19 says, maybe I must just share what she said. She said she saw this clay on a potter's wheel, but it's hard as rock, it's clip hard. And then the water came and it became soft. And the water is just the Holy Spirit that made the clay soft, that it can be molded again into the form that it needs to be. And I knew this hardness was a hardness of heart, and that God wanted to come and heal people of offense. A brother offended, in Proverbs 18 verse 19, a brother offended is harder to win than a strong city. If you have offense in your heart, you'll be harder to win than a strong city. And contentions are like bars of a castle. Contentions means arguments, striving, always doing that thing. But God has called us to be sons of God. Matthew 5 verse 9 says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Now, last week we did Foundations 3, and I've done about 20 of those foundations, and I was privileged to have two young men in my group, and the one man is Morris. And I'm going to embarrass you now, Morris, but he says he doesn't get embarrassed. But I've seen many people that come and do Foundations 3. And then when we come to a certain part, they say, no, God has already, I've already dealt with that issue in my life. But he just said, brother, let's pray. God, forgive me, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. Lord, I repent. That's his heart. He was quick to forgive and quick to repent. And I believe that's why they can be in the township for 11 years. And they don't get taken out, because they're quick to repent and they're quick to forgive. And I want to honor you for that. He told me when the xenophobia was here, he will get in his bucky and the police cordoned it off, and they wouldn't go in, the police won't go in the township, but he would go with his bucky, and the guys throwing the rocks and the petrol bombs, they will go, hello pastor, hello pastor, and he drives through and he goes and fetches Zimbabwean friends, and he drives through it, hello pastor, and he goes out and he drops them off and he goes in and out. Because he's quick to repent and quick to forgive. It's a humbleness of God. God has said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Now, I was offended. And I was very offended with lots of things. And I don't want to share why, because it was with my leadership. And I went up the mountain with my children and my wife. We drove up. And then I just walked away and I started praying. And God spoke to me. And then I heard my wife, she was very worried where I am. But God was speaking to me, and I got this word from the Lord, and I want to share it with you. But this is for the fathers. 1 Peter 5, verse 1. So I exhort the elders among you, as fellow elders and witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as partakers in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you. Exercise oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you. Not for shameful gain, but eagerly. Not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfailing crown of glory. Then to the children, instructions to the children. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourself, all of you, with humility towards one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on Him, because He cares for you. And now, for all of us, be sober-minded and watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of sufferings are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. After you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to His eternal glory in Christ, will Himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To Him be the dominion forever and ever. Offense is the bait of Satan. Satan will cause you to become offended. You must guard your hearts. Don't allow offense to harden your heart. That's what the devil wants you to do. You must resist offense. If there's offense in your heart, resist him, firm in your faith, Because the devil is walking around like a roaring lion. He wants you to get offended with the body of Christ. As soon as you get offended, he's going to destroy your marriage. That's why, brothers, if you've offended anyone, go and apologize. Say, I'm sorry that I've offended you. Maybe they needed to be offended. Still, go and tell them, I'm sorry. I didn't want to offend you. I'm sorry. If you've been offended, just go, Lord, I forgive that person. I know his heart wasn't that. You know, we all want to be judged on our intentions, but we all judge people on their actions. People's hearts are not to offend you or to hurt you in any way. They do things because their intentions were really to bless you and to love you. If you go to the core of everyone. But we get so offended with people. But this is designed by the devil to separate us from the body of Christ, that the devil can come and take us out. And this is applicable to all of us. All of us, me especially, have to fight offense all the time. You want to get offended, but offense is the opposite almost of love. Because if you love someone, you will not get offended with that person. But, you know, I just want to finish off with this, that I really believe that this orphan spirit, many young people, God the Father wants to speak to us to change this. But many people that come to Christ need a father to bless them. But the fathers, I'm trusting God to stand up. And I'm trusting God for a miracle in our hearts, that because Luke 1 verse 12 says, He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. That's only the Spirit of God that can turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. But I'm really trusting God, and I'm asking God for two men, for two fathers to stand up and to say, I'm going to count for Jesus. Even if you don't have natural children, maybe just as a spiritual father to someone younger than you. But as the ushers take up the communion, I want you to look at the video clip. Maybe if some of you have been in the church for longer have seen this. But the song is about a man who have adopted a little girl. And he's singing the song to the girl. The father, look at the father's heart. Because I believe there's a generation of disabled children that needs a father.
I know you've heard the stories, but they all sound too good to be true. Heard about a place called home, but there doesn't seem to be one for you. So one more night you cry yourself to sleep and drift off to a distant dream where love takes you in. Yeah.
Father, we pray, Lord God, for your Spirit, Lord. Lord, come and change, turn the hearts of the fathers, Lord, to the children, Lord. Father, we pray, Lord God, for the fathers and the mothers, Lord. Father, we pray for the children, Lord. Father, we pray, Lord God, for your Spirit to be poured out upon us, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, we pray for people to know you, the Father, Lord. Father, I pray that you will show yourself, Lord, as the Father to people who are desperately in need, Lord God, of a Father, Lord. Oh, Lord, you so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in you, Lord, will not perish, but have everlasting life. Lord, that you say that you did not come to convict the world, but you came to save the world. To save us, Lord, from these curses, Lord, of fatherlessness. And Father, where many of us maybe might not have had fathers, Lord, or mothers, Lord, that you have come, Lord, to overcome those curses in our lives, Lord. To break the curses and negative cycles, Lord, in our lives of maybe drug abuse or addictions, Lord, or pornography, Lord, or sexual iniquities, Lord. Maybe sleeping with our girlfriends or boyfriends before we get married, Lord. and all these things are destroying society, Lord, and we do not understand it, Lord, but you have come because you love us, not because you want to be strict, but because you want to save us, Lord, because your heart is that of a father that loves, Lord. Father, thank you that your goodness that leads to repentance, Lord. It's your love, Lord. It's your love that changes lives, Lord. And Father, I want to pray, Lord, that to each one of us are sons of God, Lord, in faith through Jesus Christ. I'm just going to ask you to stand. Please just remain in a attitude of worship and just close your eyes. And I want to give maybe this one person here the opportunity, because you know, if, whether you're a lady or a girl or a woman or a man or a boy or a man, but you know you're a prodigal and you need to return to Jesus. You need to return to the Father, because you've said to yourself, I'm not worthy. And you realize today that you are worthy. You thought you wanted the Father to treat you as an orphan or as a hireling, because you're not no longer worthy to be called a son. And you want to return to the Father. And even if you're contemplating to come forward now, I just want to encourage you to walk forward, because the Father is already running to you. He's running to you to embrace you, because he's got compassion for you, because he loves you, and he's coming to you. The Father is coming to fetch you. Is there anyone that want to respond to that call? To say, I want to become a son of God. I just want you to come forward that we can pray with you. Is there anyone that wants to respond to that word? And then I'm going to ask, if there's one of two fathers, if there's any fathers or spiritual fathers that's saying, God is turning my heart for the sons and the daughters, for the children. I want to make a stand to be a father to a fatherless generation, to a generation of illegitimate children. I am making a stand. I just want to ask you to be bold on behalf of fathers who are or on behalf of fathers who are not interested, just to come and stand forward and to say, I am prepared to be a father to those children who do not have fathers. If the fathers can just come and stand here. Now I want to pray and ask that if there's children or people that need a father, to just come and lay hands on these fathers that we can pray for them. If there's anyone here that you know this is on your heart as well, you want these men to be released as fathers, you can just come and lay hands on them that we can pray for them. Yes, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, I just want to pray a blessing over these fathers, Lord. I just anoint them in the name of Jesus, that the spirit of Elijah will come, Lord, and turn the hearts of the fathers. Thank you that you anoint these men, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, I speak your blessing, your anointing on these men of God, Lord, these warriors of God, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, thank you for your anointing on these men, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Father, we speak a blessing over them, Father. Thank you, Lord, that you're saying, be bold and courageous. Do not fear nor be dismayed. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Father, thank you for bold men, Lord God. Thank you for men to stand, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, we just release your anointing on their lives, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, thank you for these men that stand and make a stand for the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus, Lord. Father, I thank you, Lord, for Nelson, Lord. I speak a blessing over him, Lord. Father, thank you that he's a man of God, Lord, that you bless him, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord God, thank you for these men, Lord, to stand and to say that I'm willing to make a stand for Jesus, to make a stand for those children who do not have fathers, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. If you have not had a father that spoke a blessing over you, a father that prayed over you, and you need a father to pray for you, You need a father to say to you, you are my son, you are my daughter, and I'm well pleased with you. I want you to respond that we can pray with you. Come and stand right here in front that we can pray with you. If there's anyone here who know there's something missing in your heart because there was not a father that prayed over you, don't go home. Don't go home tonight. This is where that word came in. This is for you. This word is now for you to come and stand here because God wants to restore something in your heart because of the fathers that wasn't standing there. And I want to say to you, it's because the fathers didn't have fathers to stand of them because this curse is affecting the world. And I'm going to ask the fathers to come and pray for these children in Jesus' name. If there's anyone else, be bold. Just come forward. Just return. If you need a father, if your father never ran a marathon with you because he loved you, if he never ran after you, if your father wasn't there for you, and you know that someone needs to pray with me, I want to encourage you to come forward that we can anoint you because the hearts of the fathers is turning to the children today. The spirit of Elijah is upon us in the name of Jesus. God, we just want to pray your blessing, Father, over every person here tonight, Lord. Father, we really pray, Lord, that you will turn our hearts, Lord, to become sons, Lord, that you will remove this orphan spirit in us, Lord, that we will be sons of God, Lord, because you're saying the whole creation is eagerly awaiting for the revealing of the sons of God. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you are a good God, Lord, that you are a God that wants to bless. You're a God that wants to give us a future and a hope. But Lord, I know this, that prodigal son, that God is calling you and he's saying to you, I'm waiting for you. I'm waiting eagerly. I'm waiting your return because you are my son and I'm well pleased with you. I want to restore you. I want to restore that what the locusts have eaten. The devil has stolen from your life. He has destroyed. But I want to repay and restore you sevenfold. That what the locust, what the thief, what the devil has taken from you. But God is saying, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. I will never force anything on you if you don't respond to me, to my call. But you must respond because I cannot force myself on you. When you come to me, I will come to you. But I want to give you a future and a hope. Your eyes haven't seen, your ears haven't heard, your mind can't conceive that what I have in store for you. But you must return to me. Because my heart is full of compassion for you, full of love for you. In Jesus' name.